If you will, turn with me to 1 John chapter 4, and we'll be going from different verses tonight as we share with you a message that I've entitled, Victory is Sure. Victory is Sure. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, and then chapter 5, verse 4. Look, if you will, at verse 4. It says, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Chapter 5, verse 4. "For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, and that is even your faith." And as I was thinking about this, I thought about, and I heard someone say that the football championship game will be held this coming Monday night, and Georgia will be playing Alabama. And they said, some said the only way that Georgia can beat Alabama is for the coach and the quarterback on Alabama's team to get sick and not be able to play. And I thought, well, you know, the only way that Georgia can get victory. And I thought, well, you know, how can you apply that to something spiritual? How in the world can you be assured of victory? Well, it's been 2,000 years since Jesus died on the cross and conquered death in order to provide victory over Satan. And he got victory not over Satan, but sin and also death. The believer in the Lord Jesus Christ can live victorious every day. And the song we just sung, Victory in Jesus, is certainly a reality and can be a reality for every believer. However, that victory can only come if. Now, we said that victory for Georgia can only come if. For the Christian, that victory for the Christian can only come if. And there's several things that I just wrote down right quickly. All of you have your notes there where you can take note. First of all, victory is assured if salvation is our experience. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. I don't know how many times I've quoted this in my Christian life. I've never witnessed to someone that I did not quote this passage of Scripture. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's how a person is saved. He believes in his heart. That's believing in his heart. He repents of his sin, believes in his heart that Jesus was risen from the dead. And a person that doesn't believe in the resurrection of Christ can never be saved. That's the only way a person can be saved, according to that passage of Scripture. So victory is sure if salvation is our experience. But, however, a person can know about the Lord Jesus, but never know him personally. And what we're talking about in this matter of salvation, we're talking about knowing Jesus Christ personally. Have you had a personal relationship with him, whereby you trusted him as your personal Lord and Savior? Because a lot of people know about Jesus Christ in the head, but they don't know him in the heart. Several years ago, I put together a sermon. I entitled it, Missing Heaven by 18 Inches. And the reason I said that is because they say that from the mind to the heart, and on the average person, is 18 inches. So some people can have Jesus in their head, but never have him in their heart. And you say, well, how in the world can you know for sure that you're saved. Well, I always tell people there are three ways that you can know it. In many ways you can know for sure you're saved. Number one, the Bible tells us that a person who is saved can know he's been led by the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8, verse 16 says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the children of God. So you have to be led, and you say, has God ever led you to do anything? Has He ever led you to do anything? So you can know that you're saved because the Spirit leads His children, as the children of God. God doesn't lead the sinners but to repent, but He leads the children of His own children to walk with Him. That's why the Bible tells us, and as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the children of God. Then you can know for sure because you've had a change take place in your life. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That means if a person has accepted Christ as his personal Savior, there is a change that takes place. A change that takes place. And then a third reason that a way that a person can know for sure that they're saved, and this is how I got assurance of my salvation, even after I surrendered to preach. Can you believe this? I didn't have assurance. But so I went to the Word of God, and I found a passage of Scripture. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, and verses 10 through 13, and this is a record that God hath given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And then the next verse says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So I can know for sure. And He said, if you believe, you can know. And so that's the key. So there's the person that experiences victory is one who has absolute assurance that if he dies, he could go to heaven. And that a wonderful thought for sure, especially in our day and time. Then secondly, and I don't want to dwell on this all night long, but first, secondly, victory is sure if the Scripture is our guidebook. Romans 10:17 says, so that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. So that's why we encourage people to read the Bible. And I've been reading five chapters in the Bible every day since the first day of since January 1st. And now I'm over right in the middle of Genesis. I'm going all the way through the Bible. And I sit down and look at the Bible, and I say, Lord, would you show me something out of these five chapters that'll be a blessing to me today? And God shows something almost every time. Sometimes I have to think for a while, but then he shows us some good things out of His Word. What makes the Scripture so special as a guidebook? Well, first of all, if you look over in 2 Timothy chapter 3, you'll find that in verses 13, 14, 15, and 16, it gives you some things that make the Bible very special. First of all, the Bible is a guard against evil living. It tells us in verse 13 of chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, it says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. In other words, the devil is always available. Then that's why the writer of the book of the 2 Timothy, Paul, said, went on to say, all Scripture is given by inspiration. And then that's why it's not only a guard against evil living, but it is a guide for fruitful living. 2 Timothy chapter 3, first part of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is, come on, what is the second? It is profitable. That is, it is profitable in that it will guide your life. Amen? And so and there's a guard against evil living. There is a guide for fruitful living. And then the latter part of that verse of Scripture, and in 1 John chapter 5, verse 11, it tells us that the Bible not only is a guard against evil living and a guide for fruitful living, it's a guarantee for eternal life. You think about it. I just quoted it a few moments ago, 1 John chapter 5, verse 11. And this is a record. What does this say? What is the record? This is a record right here, this Bible. This is the record that God hath given us what kind of life? Eternal life. And this life is in my hanging on. No, this life is in His Son. And so I have the Son, and that means that I have life. And if I have life, I have eternal life. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. So you're either lost or you're saved. Only two types of people in the world today. Lost or saved. Lost or saved. And he says that, and he guarantees us eternal life. And then the psalmist said it best over in Psalm 1:2. It said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, stand in the way of sinners, and seeds of cornball. But in verse 2 of that chapter, it tells us some things that helps him. Here's what he does. He says in verse 2, he said, and but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in it doth he meditate day and night. And so now, I want you to see three things about this that I think helps us understand the importance and why the Bible should be the guidebook for our lives. First of all, I want you to notice how his delight is in the Word. He delights in it, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Amen. My, it is a delight to do it, and a delight to do it. And I had a seminary professor that was blind. He had memorized the New Testament and much of the Old Testament. And it was amazing how he delighted in the Word of God. And he told us in class sometimes, he said, sometimes the Lord would wake me up about 3 o'clock in the morning and I would be so tired, and the Holy Spirit would say, his name was Aubrey, and he'd say, Aubrey, would you get up and quote Romans chapter 8 for me? And he said, I'd say, Lord, you know how tired I am. And the Lord would say, Aubrey, I want you to quote Romans chapter 8. And he said, I'd get up outside of the bed, and he said, I'd quote Romans chapter 8, and then I'd sit there, and he said, as I begin to quote it, I begin to delight in it. He said, it was such a blessing. And he said, it seemed like that after I got through quoting Romans chapter 8, that the Lord would pick me up like a feather and lay me back in the bed, and away I'd go asleep. And so we ought to delight in God's Word. Amen. And then secondly, note how his desire is in the Word of God. He said, and in it doth he meditate. Meditate. What do you mean by meditating on God's Word? That's just what? That's making it a part of your life. It's kind of like the cow chewing the cud. The cow goes out and they pick up the grass, and they spend the morning eating grass, and it goes into one stomach, and then when they fill that stomach up by noon and maybe afternoon, the cow goes to finds a good shade and lays down. And you've ever seen and watched the cow? I chew that cud, and what they do, they bring that food back up and they chew it the second time, and that's kind of meditating on it. And then it goes into the second stomach, and it becomes a part of their life and becomes a part of giving life. That's exactly what the Word of God ought to do to every one of us. Amen. And we, as we delight in it, it just becomes a part of us. Amen. And especially if you use a certain type of Bible like I do, I use the Scofield Reference Bible. Now, for some reason or other, Brother Thompson uses the Thompson Chain Reference Bible. Now, I don't know if there's any relationship between he and the guy that did that or not, but he uses that. And that's his part, and he's familiar with that part of the Bible. I have the old Scofield Reference Bible. It's been around a long, long time, over 100 years. And so every page is exactly the same. And so as I meditate on God's Word and I want to find a verse of Scripture, I may not find where it is in the book, and sometimes I know exactly where it's at on the page. Have you ever done that? I know where it's at on the page, and I'd look, oh, there it is, right there on the right-hand side and the left page on the right column. And so that's the meditating upon God's Word, and it's meditating. And then consider how his devotion is to the Word of God. You know what he said? He meditates on it day and night. Day and night. Day in and day out. Day in and day out. He meditates upon God's Word. And so that's why the Scripture should be our guidebook if we're going to enjoy victory in Jesus. And then thirdly, victory is sure if our submission to the Holy Spirit is to the Holy Spirit, and if our and self-denial is our position. In other words, I'm turning every day as I study God's Word, I am turning away from my self-centered life and that self-denial. And when I deny those things, and I'm walking with Jesus and loving him with all of my heart and all of my soul. And so there is no way the child of God can enjoy victory in his life if he is not willing to submit to the Holy Spirit's leadership in his life. And then I want you to notice also, fourthly, victory is sure for us if you and I are saturated with the blood of Christ for protection. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 12, verse 11, and they overcame him by the blood of Jesus Christ. They overcame who? They overcame the devil. And the only way you can overcome the devil is through the blood of Jesus Christ and the word of their testimony, and they fear not their life unto death. Every time I think about that verse of Scripture in Revelation chapter 12, I think about the years back when my daughter Sarah and her husband were settling in with their little one in Bolivia, and they had been there, and the other boy had been born, and the boys were about 4 or 5 years old. Now, in Bolivia, a little bald-headed boy and blue-eyed boy would stick out like a sore thumb down there, because most people down there have olive complexion and dark and black-headed. And so they begin to develop in her a fear that those children may be kidnapped. And so she called me one day and she said, Dad, I just don't know what I'm going to do. And she said, this fear. And I said, would you turn with me to the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation? And here we know where this verse takes us. This verse of Scripture takes us right into the middle of the worst time in all of the world of history, and that's in the tribulation period. I mean, persecution, unreal, and all kinds of things going on. It's unreal in the tribulation, which you and I won't experience, but it helps us to understand how we can handle our fears here. And the Bible says in Revelation 12, verse 11, and they overcame him, how? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they feared not their lives unto the death. Now, watch this. There are three ways now that they gained victory. Number one was the blood. They were covered and protected by the blood of Christ. I know that my soul is protected
by the blood sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. I know that. And then the word of their testimony. What does it mean by the word of their testimony? By the word that they understood and the testimony they experienced when they got saved, that they have a testimony that they're born again. And it says they feared not their lives unto the death. And I said, there's the three steps. And I said, if you follow the blood and your testimony, there's absolutely no fear that you can have of this matter of death. It should be something that we would welcome and rejoice in the fact that we know. It's like my son said when they told him that his situation was terminal and he wasn't going to live. He said, well, I've got it made. He said, if I die, I'm going to be with Jesus. And if I stay down here, he's going to be with me. And so I've got victory on both sides. And so you and I have victory on both sides. And so there's no use to fear, because the Bible tells us that fear is not of God. Perfect fear, and he told us that. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. And then fifthly, notice victory is sure if supplication, I use the word supplication, and prayer is our daily practice. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17 says, pray without ceasing. Now, does that mean that God wants us to kneel down and pray all the time until we starve to death? No. What does it mean? It means to have communication with the Lord all the time. The first man I ever met that knew that was a man that I felt like that was somebody that really lived that verse of Scripture, I met when I was in seminary. He preached in chapel and I went up to greet him. And when I started talking to him and for some reason or other, I shared with him a prayer request, and it seemed like that the prayer request went to him and his conversation went to heaven, like as if he had been conversing all alone with the Lord. I was really shocked, and I said, well, I want to be that kind of Christian. I want to be so close to the Lord that I can just, when I walk up and talk with somebody, they can say, well, somebody, he's been talking with somebody else right now, and like he's a little bit off. But anyway, it was just amazing how this man could do that. And then lastly, victory is sure if the second coming and the rapture is in our daily perspective. Are you looking for Jesus to come? Titus said, Paul wrote to Titus and he said, looking unto Jesus, or looking away, really, it's looking away for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And folks, this is the victory for you and me in 2022. Boy, no telling what's going to happen. I can't from one day to the next tell you exactly what's going to happen. But I do know that this is one thing we can be sure of. Things are not going to get better permanently. They maybe get better for a short time, but everything is headed toward a climax. And aren't you glad you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior? Aren't you glad you know Him and know that if you died today, you'd go to heaven? And I remember so well, one day I was going to the hospital to visit, and I got into the parking lot, and I was walking down a street like this, and I was going around the corner, and I ran smack-a-dab. Is that a good term? Smack-a-dab into a man who bounced back, and he bounced back, and I looked at him, apologized, and he apologized to me. He said, I should have been looking, and I said, I should have been looking too. But I said, then I said, well, I know we both may be at fault here and we may be going the wrong way, but let me ask you this, are you going the right way? And he said, what do you mean by that? I said, or if you died right now, do you know for sure you're going to heaven? And he looked at me very strange, and he said, ain't nobody gonna know till they get there. How would you like to have that type of assurance? That's no assurance at all, is it? That's just all guesswork. But brother, we can be sure we're going to heaven. Amen? Like old Uncle Buddy Robinson used to say all time, the old tongue-tied preacher, he said, I'm so safe in Jesus right now that I could swing over hell on a rotten corn stalk. He was kind of tongue-tied. And I sometimes don't feel like that, but I want to be that way, don't you? I want to be at that point in my life and have the victory day by day in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Are you enjoying that victory today? I trust you are. And you can do it if your salvation is straight. If the Scripture is your guideline and the Holy Spirit is your director in your life and you're covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus and you're in constant prayer and praying and looking for the Lord Jesus Christ to come from heaven. Dr. Charles Weigel, the man that wrote the song, No One Ever Cared For Me Like Jesus, spent his last years here in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And over in the old campus of Tennessee Temple University, there was a large building there named in his honor called the Weigel Building. He lived in an apartment in that building last years of his life. And at 94, he was going down, and I don't know if you folks remember that, but Bailey Avenue used to be a one-way, and Macaulay used to be a one-way. And they were going down Macaulay, going down to the hospital for his, to the doctor's office for a second, maybe an annual examination, going to the doctor. And a man was driving down Macaulay, and somebody was coming on this way and ran a traffic light and hit the side of their car where Dr. Weigel was sitting. And it was a crash. And the driver of the automobile told lately that the first thing that Dr. Weigel did was look up and say, is this it, Lord? He thought he was going to die in that automobile accident. And you know, that's the way all of us ought to be, right? Amen? I'm afraid I'm not that way. I'm not there yet, but I trust that I'll get there in my Christian life, that I'll be able to say that everything in my life is pointing toward that wonderful time when He comes or calls. And may God help us to be ready when He comes or when He calls. And God help us to do so. Well, I'm going to ask Brother Byron if he'll close off.